You're listening to 3ABR, and it's Deb Bradfield in the studio for the book show. We have Lee Kelly, as always.
Hello.
And we have a very special guest. Yes. We actually have a published author in the book show. Yay!
Hello, everybody. I'm Dasha.
So that's Dasha, or Darren Smith. Some of you will know from around town. He's a Apollo Bay identity, and he has actually written a book. So we're going to hear all about it today. And I'm going to, first of all, see if we can hear. And Brian, have we got you there?
Hello, Deb.
Yay, we've got you, Brian. I've done it. Gee.
well done.
Yeah, so welcome back, Brian, and certainly welcome, Dasha, to the book show. Very, very lucky and happy to have you. And we decided that we were going to talk about books to do with trauma and people overcoming trauma, survival. And Lee wanted to read the Lee Sales book, which I think she has and Brian has
as
well.
And I've read Dasha's book too.
And we've all read Dasha's book. So I think we might start with Dasha, because he may want to head off somewhere else. First of all, we'll go to Darren's book, which is called My First Book.
Yep.
And I thought maybe, well, I thought there might be two reasons for that title, but maybe Dasha would like to tell us why the title.
My First Book, because it's the first book I've ever read in my life, because and the first one I've obviously wrote. And so we thought, my first book, it's a good name for my first book.
Yes. Well, I thought it might have been, I thought it was either your first book, as in first book as an author, and you're going to go on and write a whole lot more, or it was the first book that you've ever read.
Yeah.
So
yep. I didn't mean to write a book.
You didn't mean to?
No, not really. Well, I went to Les because I couldn't read and write. Because the first time I went to learn some pretty heavy stuff happened. So I never learned to read and write in my whole life. So, and it's been a massive part of what you can do and what you can't do when you can't read and write.
I'll say.
You know what I mean? Especially with work and how people write you off because of, you know what I mean? They just write you off because you can't read and write. Once they find out, like if I had to read, write my name and address on something. I used to have a little hand brace I put on, and I'd say to the lady, "Look, I fractured my hand and I can't write at the moment.
Oh, did you?
So can you just do it? My name's Darren Smith. I live here." And they do it, and had all these little things I had to do.
Oh, you had little ways of getting around it.
Yeah, or band-aids around three fingers. I also have a big pack of band-aids if I had to write. Yeah, so I went to Les and said, "Oh, look, I rang up the Reading Writing Hotline.
Oh, yeah.
And they put me onto Mara Warren, onto Jodie. And she found Les and met Les. And he said, "Oh, well, the best way to do it is it's not right. The dog chased the cat around the house 100 times because that's just you get really sick of that really quick." And he goes, "Well, just write some stories about your life or something." And I'm like, "Well, what do you mean, you know?" Like, he goes, "Oh, no, camping trips, the surf trip, when you went to see a band, just write stuff."
Yeah.
And I said, "Oh, so where do I start?" He goes, "Day one, I suppose." Day one. And so I just started writing and I got right into it. I really liked it. So you know what I mean? It was weird to see stuff I'd written, actually see stuff I'd written. And then I just kept writing and writing and writing, and wrote from day one to 2 weeks ago.
But when you say you couldn't read or write, you were able to write enough to get the book started?
Yep. It was really bad. I could hardly read it. And I'm thinking, I don't know how Les worked it out.
Well, do you think was that because of your actual formation of the writing, like physically, or was it that you didn't know how to spell the words?
Both.
All right.
Yeah. Like because I only write capitals and...
No, my partner still only writes capitals.
Yeah, and they're really...
It's a man thing.
It must be.
But you're right, there's a lot of people disguise the problem, and it's a lot more widespread. I mean,
yep.
The reading writing hotline's there because there are so many people that they know that are out there, and they just try and find ways to reach. So you should tell them your story, because you'll make some public servants day.
Fantastic.
If only they were listening.
And the lady at the reading writing hotline, she was unreal. I said, look, I can't hardly read and write. She goes, okay, where are you? She goes, can I have your phone number? I said, yep. She gave me phone number. She said, look, I'll call you back. And in 15 minutes, she called me back and said, oh, I got this. I'm about to send you a text. Sends me a text about,
could you read it?
Just. and I knew it, because Marawan is a different word.
Oh,
to
yeah,
other words.
Really.
Well, I know where it is. I don't know how to say it, but I know where it is. So, and she said, Jodie Anderson at Marawan. Or the library. So I went to the library first. They were shut, and she gave me all these names of the books that help, and the library. She said that I'll be able to get stuff in. But so I walked next door to Mel Warren, because the library's shut, and saw Jodie. She goes, okay, I'll hook you up with Les. And it was really weird, because the first time I went to learn and read and write, it was a man, obviously, he's in the book. GX is a man.
Yeah.
And she said, oh, she's a really lovely lady. The lady's going to teach her. And I'm like, okay. And that was like, phew.
Yeah.
I don't want a man with a pen in his hand touching me or just being there.
We haven't got on to that part of the book yet. Yeah. So,
anyway, she says on the meeting, she goes, they'll be here in 5 minutes. He's running late. And I'm and I'm like, what the hell do you mean he's running late? I couldn't say anything, because no one knew about. Yeah, and then he walks in. It's Les, and I knew Les. He'd been in a band and danced with his wife and that. And I talked to him and down at the RSL a few times, I thought, sweet, this is So that was a massive relief to know the person as an honest, nice person.
Yes. Yeah, so, Dasher had some trauma in his young life concerning a particular man called, who is referred to as GX. I'll let Dasher talk about that if he wants to. But one of the reasons that we've got Dasher here too, and I'm just going to say this because I might forget later, is that he's actually having a book launch on Saturday at Hello Coffee.
Yeah.
7 o'clock.
Yep.
You need to book, I think, if you can.
Yeah, probably, because there's only 50 tickets. They're only allowed to have so many people in their place.
And I think the places are going fast. So if you want
to... You'll have to have another book launch there.
Yes, well, that's right. If it's anything like Steph, we'll have about 3 or 4 book launches, if you're listening, Steph.
I'm just thinking, as you're talking about that, Darren, you know, as a survival story, yours is multi-layered. I mean, that the ability of, you know, the problem with the reading writing is one thing that you survived. You know?
Oh, yeah.
You know, and that's the first part.
Is that multi-layered?
Well, yeah, that's what I mean. Like, you had that one, and then you had the rest of the story that we'll get onto in a minute. Like, you've had to survive a number of things.
Oh, no.
You know? And
counted 6, like.
Yeah, 6, did you?
Really?
Yeah,
sort of weird, because at the time I didn't think of it as something.
Yeah.
You just kept going.
You know, just to support what you said about somebody... you know, what it feels like to be in that position. I once remember a lady coming up to school, and she had a letter that had been sent home, which schools do all the time for their kids, and she had underlined or highlighted all the words in it that she didn't understand. So as a parent, she had come in sort of saying how dreadful this was, because the school was thinking they'd told her something, you know, your kid has to wear this uniform, or your kid has to, and she couldn't understand it. Yeah. So she was coming to get help because she didn't want her kid to know that she couldn't understand. I mean, it's just they're very traumatic events in people's life if they can't, you know.
So that, that initial step of yours, Dasher, to get help with the reading and writing has really led to a whole other world for you, hasn't it?
Yeah, unreal. I would not believe that I'd be sitting here now interviewing a radio station with big mics and the whole setup and everything, you know what I mean? Yeah.
Yes, we're very sophisticated
yeah,
here.
Yeah, no, it's something different, I tell you. Mm. And it's awesome. It's really good to...
The title, Darren, my first book is sort of indicates that this is a triumph, really, for a person who struggled with literacy.
Yeah.
You know, to have published a book. That is a major triumph.
Oh, thank you.
Mm. And Dasha listens to the book show every week too, so you also will be weighed down by books soon. He's probably disappointed to meet us face to face.
Yeah, but that kind of takes us to this main idea of the book about survival and, you know... coming out of it an optimistic, positive person, despite all these horrible things.
Yes.
I found that amazing reading your book, Darren, how positive you were.
Mm.
There's quite a few, you go and look at it again, quite a few times in your life where you talk about how you were really happy. You know, talking about relationships you'd had and how you enjoyed surf and music and you had... so many things that you were really positive about.
I probably had more things I liked than I didn't like, so I just think about them.
I think you're a very positive person and a very resilient person because some other people would have just not been able to carry on, I think, after...
Yeah, I know what you mean. Like, I've had people say complain about something and that's their world.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, oh, wow, I wish that was my problem.
Yes.
Sort of thing.
Yeah. But even that, it's hard not to then, you don't strike me as the sort of person would think worse of someone for that. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
no.
You don't. Yeah, like, no. It'd be easy to look at them and think, well, you're privileged.
Yes.
You've got nothing to... But you don't behave like that to people. I think that's really...
I think it might be...
your personality.
Maybe what happened to me, I hate GX.
Maybe we should.
No one's ever done something as bad as that to me. So
should we let the listeners know?
What
GX has done, perhaps not in too graphic a detail, but just
shall I say it? Yeah, I mean it's in the book. So
the point is, Darren's a survivor of sexual abuse.
Yeah, right? That's exactly right. Yes, he is.
Yeah.
Thank you, Brian, for putting
brutal.
That in polite.
And quite brutal and cynical, malicious.
Yeah, it's pretty brutal. Like, I had to have an operation.
Yeah, that's the thing, that your survival of that involved not just surviving in your mind, you know, not hating the world, but also you had a physical problem that stayed with you, you know, and that's awful too, because there's another layer, something else you had to do.
It was hard, like I thought, as I get older, it'll, I'll forget about it. But
you had that physical reminder.
Forget about it when
you're constantly reminded.
It's there all the time.
And it still
is a bit. So I think I've just got used to it and thought, well, that's me, that's my life, that's what's happened, this is what goes on, so... I don't want to be an unhappy person and bring everyone down about me. Like if someone says, oh, how you been, Dash? Oh, I'm not very good today. I have a massive nightmare last night. Yeah. I wake up and I'm bleeding everywhere.
Mm.
And, you know what I mean? So you don't, because I don't want to hear anyone's problems either. You know what I mean?
It's hard to do anything for anyone else's problem.
Well, yeah. It's like when you get in the street and you see someone, you go, don't ask them how they're going.
unless you really want to know.
We see this in other trauma too, and you see this in the Me Too movement too, about how isolating it is to have been abused, because you know it's very isolating.
Yes, and I think you spoke
very
about that, didn't you?
Oh, I think so.
Yeah, you talked about in your first relationship with Sam, I think it was. Yeah. That was a big moment when you told her.
I knew I had to one day because she'd find out. And then when I told her, I believe, she goes, yeah, I know.
Mm-hmm.
I'm, oh, seniors still with me.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, and you feel like, I don't know, a bit secondhand sometimes. Mm. But you don't, well, just don't let the bad things rule your life. You know?
Well, I think you've got an amazing attitude. And it was interesting, though, because we were going to sort of talk about dealing with trauma today. And, you know, you really didn't, in the book you said you haven't got much time for psychologists, and so they haven't really helped you at this point, but other things helped you, like surfing and music.
Yep.
But is that just in, like, it just takes you out of that space for a little while and then you're back? I mean,
probably, yeah. Well, music can just fill up the room with loud music, and that's all you're thinking about at the time, I suppose. So, and then when the album's over, you're somewhere else, I suppose. And surfing, I cannot explain what surfing does. I cannot explain. I can be having a real bad day, and as soon as I'm up to my hips in the water, I can't remember why I was having a bad day, because I'm in the ocean. It's just weird. It's so weird, I can't explain.
That happens to me in the forest.
Yeah, if
same thing. Big trees, that just, it just all washes away. You just think, you know, well.
But it's that, those two layers again, I reckon, of the physical. Like when you're in the water, you know, you get the sea and all your, up your nose. And it just changes the way you're sort of sensing things. You know, it makes you really sort of blasts out everything out of you, and then you've sort of got to concentrate too when you're surfing, because it's not straightforward.
It's sort of, I suppose as soon as you hit the water, you're just looking out to sea and waiting for a wave to come, and everything, there's about 10 things going on, and then when you get a wave, it's just unreal. Surfing's the best thing, I reckon.
But that's like any creative person will tell you that, won't they? That, you know, when they're painting or whatever, they get involved in what they're doing, and it's sort of that you forget about what you're feeling before you started doing that. It's sort of the place people want to get to, isn't it?
Yeah.
Where you're just in the moment.
Yeah, and it's weird, because if it wasn't for surfing, it wouldn't have happened.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh. So if you know what I mean, so it's a little bit weird like that.
I was going to talk to you about was, this comes from this Lee Sales book that we're going to get onto, but she quotes this example of some studies that were done, and she's got this idea that people possibly have a resting place for their happiness, right?
Yep.
So if something good or bad happens to them, they can dip or go up, but after a few years, they'll come back to the same spot.
Yep.
And that's maybe due to your personality and stuff. And when I was reading your book, I was thinking, you're probably an example of that, you know, that you've just got a natural sort of, positiveness about yourself.
Yes.
So when bad things have happened to you, like, you know, even, you know, breaking up your relationships and stuff, they're bad things.
Yeah.
You sort of bounce back, you know, after bad for a while, and then you go back to the...
I thought after the first one where you lost a lot of money, I thought that one was pretty extraordinary to be able to bounce back from that and not be, not hold any grudges about
it. And sort of robbery too, like you've actually been the victim of a crime, and that's left you bankrupt, you know.
Yeah, I lost my house and my business.
Mm. Yeah.
Well, my second house.
You're incredible. You're just so resilient.
It's funny. I've never thought about it much.
Mm,
you know what I mean? Until this book,
yeah.
I've never really thought about it. And then and people are coming up to me and saying what you're saying.
Yeah.
And like, I got, there's one bloke said, inspirational, Dasher, you're an inspirational. Me?
You are.
it's something that people are searching for. They're searching for how do you, I mean, that's what Lee Sales' whole book is about. How do you cope when bad things happen to you? Why is it that some people like you can have these things happen to them and still be sitting here, you know, happy and positive about your life and other people aren't?
I don't know. Don't ask me.
Dan, that's the mystery of life, not
solved. That's the answer we want, though, today. Yes, it's got to be personality. It's just some people are able to cope and other people can't.
Well, maybe it's just that thing about you have to have those things like surfing and music, that something, and I mean, people do it with drugs and stuff, don't they?
Yeah.
it's the escape idea. You go and get involved in something else and it changes your mindset. But the ones that you've chosen are positive, you know.
Drugs are poor man's surfing. Or rich man's.
Rich man.
I was actually listening. Sorry.
Deb, can yes. I just say a couple of things about Dash's book?
There's, please do, Brian.
The thing about the trauma is not just something that happens to you once or over a certain period of time, but it's kind of ongoing for years and years and years. That if you have been abused, it's not as though that stops when you're 13 years old. Like, you're still suffering from it 20, 30 years later.
Mm. And yep.
I think comes across really well in your book, Dasher. Not just, I mean, the physical thing's bad enough about the injuries you sustain, chronic injuries.
Yep.
But there's the nightmares, and there's the kind of sense that you can't tell your friends, and you know, like, it's just a terrible consequence of the initial abuse, as if that's not bad enough, but there's this ongoing consequence, and I think that comes across really strongly in the book. But the other thing is too that at the suggestion, I think, of your wife, Samantha, you went to the police. Then you get a whole secondary trauma where you have to confront your mum. You have to confront everybody who's ever known you.
You
have to confront the offender. You have to be cross-examined by some smart-ass in a bloody week.
You are lost in court, as you...
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
So you suffer a kind of a second trauma, as well as all the initial trauma, the ongoing thing, and then there's this other thing.
Been on the telly, and you see people that go to court every day to the commission, and you think, you know, how is it that they're still, you know, doing that after all these years? Yeah. And I think you help people understand, you know, that that's it's finished, but it's not forgotten, and stays with you.
And is it really finished? I mean, you know, it's probably never really finished.
Yeah, well, it's like the apology last week from the Prime Minister, and I'm thinking, thanks, mate, that was a forced apology. But you say sorry, you know what I mean?
They did that apology, and then they said, you know how they're supposed to have set up money for survivors, you know, from the churches and stuff. And then the statistics are that no one's been paid. No one's actually got any money.
Mm.
And you think, that just makes it worse again. Yeah. It's like making them wait a little bit longer.
Yeah, it's funny. I didn't watch TV or radio or anything for probably 7 years. I didn't own a TV because every time you turned it on, bang, it's in your face.
And that, what happened when you saw something like that? Did that bring it back, or what did that do?
Well, if it mind you of something that happened to you when you weren't thinking about it.
Right.
And now you are.
Yeah, okay, yeah, you know brought it mean? Back again.
Yeah, I think I didn't need to remember that right now. I'm about to go out and go horse riding.
Mm.
And while you're saddling up the horse, you're sort of thinking about that. And then when you're on the horse, you forget about it, of course. But it's you're always there. It's, and it comes up more and more and more as I got older, because obviously people started speaking out, and that's why I sort of thought someone will believe me, because there's priests, sports coaches or whatnot, you know what I mean? I'm not trying to put people saying people are bad,
there's been a lot.
The trusted people had done bad things.
Yeah.
And I thought, no one's going to believe me, because bloody, he was a massive, massive community person.
So, Dasha, how old were you when you decided to go to the police?
23.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, so I was about, it happened in Form 1, going from grade 6 and all through Form 1, the first year of Form 1, a bit into Form 2, and went like this, because... that's when it all happened.
Mm.
And then, and just didn't tell anyone until I was 23, till the incident with my ex-wife, when I just, yeah.
And do you think that that was the reason that you didn't learn to read and write, or you just weren't maybe interested in school, or
bit of both?
Yeah,
probably.
Yeah. Because you said there was one teacher that really was inspiring, and she, what did she teach? Did she, was that a particular subject?
Mrs.
or
Burgess.
Well, yeah, you mentioned one. I can't remember what her name was.
It was in primary school.
Oh, in primary. Yeah.
She just understood. I had a lot of energy and used to say to me, like, I hadn't even been in trouble, hadn't done nothing wrong, and she'd say, Dasha, you go outside and fill up a bin with rubbish.
I like that bit in the book.
Yeah, I do,
right? Yeah. I also love the bit where you said you used to run so much that you actually fainted.
Passed out, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But that stopped happening when I met my wife, because she's like, you got to drink water, you got to
stop. And you're going at a million miles an hour.
Yeah, yeah. And I got used to fainting. And waking up thinking, where the hell am I? Why am I here? Oh, where am I? Oh, that's right. Yeah, and a little headache and...
And off you go again.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Amazing.
I thought that was really interesting too about, you know, the fact that you were so young when the abuse happened. Yeah. I reckon that adds that, you know, that's another problem, because children, you know, they mix things up in their head a lot, you know, and they often blame themselves for, you know, you hear stories about little things like couples breaking up and the child will think it was something that they did.
Yeah, you hear that a lot.
Yep. Live with that. Yep. Oh, yeah.
You know, and I think that your situation was made even harder because you were a child, you know.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I suppose that's true of all the child abuse victims.
But, and Lee, the other thing about sex abuse, and without getting too explicit about it, the child is confused about, hang on, what's going on?
Oh, yeah, I was and, very confused.
You know, like,
still.
You just don't know whether you've done something wrong or whether you haven't. You know, like, it's just terribly confusing, and you don't dare, I imagine, you know, you don't dare go and ask somebody. And for lots of reasons, but there's a terrible confusion about guilt.
Yeah,
I think in these cases, and to be honest, when I was reading it, my heartened a bit against the offender. You know, like that is just a very cynical thing to do. Cynical. Just awful.
Yeah.
But well...
He's sitting here looking happy as Larry. You wouldn't think anything had ever happened to him.
I just said it's the first time in the studio I'm wrapped. No, I'm still new and exciting.
Oh, well, hopefully not the last.
That's right.
Yeah.
Come back for the second book.
The thing is, Lee, I'd be interested in your thoughts on this, but... My first impression of Dasher is that, as a kid, I mean, notwithstanding the fact that his father was also physically abused and emotionally abused, you get this young child in school who's hyperactive, you know, he just wants to move all the time. And I think that's a big factor in literacy, that, the school, the whole school system of kids sitting in rows, paying attention, being quiet, doing whatever they're told, is very difficult for active kids, you know, kids who want to be moving and doing stuff. It's very difficult, and I think there's a big link between, you know, certain kids, dispositions or whatever, and the fact that literacy is difficult for them because... Yeah. You know, they're not, as they say, intra-linguistic personalities. You know, they're kind of kids who want to run around outside in the playground rather than kids who want to sit still and look at books.
Yeah, and there's a whole lot of levels to that too. They're like, there's the, you know, we all probably still do this. When you don't know how to do something or you don't know something, you sort of hide it. Everybody does it, you know?
Everybody does. Yeah. That's right.
And
I do in my woodwork class, you know.
And I do hear the radio station pretending I know something about books.
So, yeah. I mean, you know, that's a level at which his story can everybody can relate to it, you know. And I think kids get very good at hiding, you know, their problems. Mm. And that's probably why. And the really sad thing is, I think, for schools is that people do want to help, but you must get to a point where you're not willing to let people help you because you're trying to just hide. Get out of that. Yeah, get out of the spotlight. You don't want to. You don't want people looking at you and paying attention to you.
Yeah. And Daz, the ingenuity of carrying Band-Aids to put on your fingers is a lot smarter than anything the school would ever ask.
You're smarter than I knew that. That's why I left so early. I knew it all.
All right. Well, I might give you a call, Brian, because we've got a few things to work out here in the studio after we sign off. So thank you, everyone, for listening, everyone out there. I think that we've probably got a few more listeners this week than we usually have because I've told a few people that Darren was coming on and so they were going to listen. So we thank you all very much. Thank you, Lee, as always. Thanks, Dasha, for coming in.
No worries.
Thanks, Dasha.
Might have to get him in again. I think we might get him on a reading jag. And
have a surfing hour. That'd be very popular in Apollo Bay.
Yeah.
It's good.
Probably, yeah.
And we might get him in to review Tim Winton's Breath. You know,
yes, because he hasn't actually...
surfing book.
Yes, I was talking to Dasha about Tim Winton's Breath before we went on air, because Dasha had read one Tim Winton, hadn't you? What was that one called?
Blueback.
The whale.
Yeah, yeah. Not a whale. It's about a groper.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Giant groper.
Yeah, that he grows up with. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. See, I haven't read that one. I've read quite a few Tim Wintons,
and that
but
was
not that one.
In Streaky Bay, a school teacher gave it to me.
Oh, okay,
yeah.
Good.
Yeah, a friend's partner. Yeah, gave it to me. Yeah, so, yeah.
All for another day.
Yes, that's right. Cool. So we'll say goodbye to you all. Thank you.
Thank
you, Galapagos Books. Yeah. Thank you, Brian. Thank you, Lee. Thank you, Dasha.
Reisman. Thank you, Ball Boys.
Yep. Yes, that's right. And we will...